This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. An Interlude of Intrigue, A Tale of Three Kings, by Leslie Herron. Chapter 12, Cadence.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I do have a flair for the dramatic. But you weren't there. You didn't see the things I saw, or feel the weight of the noose around your neck. I had been bottling up my anger and hatred for decades, and it became fuel for the fire of my wrath. This was merely the spark that ignited the blaze. I left Emberon a smoldering, ruinous mess, and sent forth my new army of risen soldiers to root out the remainder of the Brotherhood from my lands. They marched as far south as Still Harbor, and as far north as Serene. Given time, they would suffer no man or woman of the cloth to live. With that set in motion, there was but one matter left to resolve. I set my sights on Ebonvein. But getting home was proving a problem. You see, I was on the wrong side of the river. With some pilfered robes and a touch of ash across my face, I stowed away aboard a silky trade ship that was bound for several small towns on the opposite side of the water. From there, to my shame, I stole a horse from one of the villages. Speed was of the essence, and I had to stay ahead of the news, to arrive before my brothers realized I had returned and learned that I was the source of the undead horde. I feared they would send my own countrymen to fight me, and I did not want to kill my own subjects. So I rode, all the while dogged by a sinister presence in the back of my mind. I had barely noticed the whispers when I raised Emberon to the ground, but now, alone in the silence of my own company, I could hear it plain as day. There were no words, so much as antagonizing inklings. It was an itch, a pleading to do more with these newfound powers. But I had a wrong to right, and a throne to take back. I pushed the voice aside and continued on. I could honestly say I was correct in my assumption that my brothers were none too happy to see me alive.
Pyra thrust the last trunk of her belongings into the outstretched arms of the stable hands. She wanted to travel light, to move as quick as she could, but she had no idea how long she was going to be gone, or if she was ever going to return. She pursed her lips as she began double-checking her things, when she caught the sound of someone jogging in her direction.
"Pyra! Wait, please!"
She needn't have turned around to know the owner of that voice. Pyra drew in a sniff through her nose, folding her arms in front of her as she swiveled.
"And what may I help you with now, King Varin?"
The words stuck in her throat as she nearly gagged on them. Varin slowed to a stop, letting out a deep sigh as he did.
"I've told you before, you don't have to call me that."
His words fell short as his eyes landed on the large, ornate black carriage before him. The horses whinnied and pawed at the ground impatiently.
"So it's true. You plan to leave Ebonvein?"
With the last of her gear loaded, Pyra reached for the door, her fingers outstretched, when she stopped. Of course this selfish child couldn't foresee the results of his own actions. She turned on the spot.
"Need I remind you that it was your majesty that decreed no woman may rule without a king? I am not even allowed to sit on the council. As such, I see no point languishing away as a widow inside these walls."
She gestured to the castle with her free hand.
"My efforts will be better spent elsewhere. Out there."
A touch of guilt reddened his face as Varin took a half step back.
I have apologized before, and will do so again for how things transpired. Lucian and the lords felt...
Lucian and the lords are not king, Verin.
Pyra returned to reaching for the door to the carriage.
Now what do you want?
I... Very well. Business it is. I've come to ask that you stay. There have been reports of monsters prowling the wilds of Ebra, and I feel that you would be safer here.
Verin looked up, allowing their eyes to meet.
Elias would want you protected.
Unable to contain herself, Pyra let out a shrill, high laugh.
So, now you're concerned with what your brother might have wanted?
She leaned closer, staring at him for a moment, taking in the slight furrow of his brow to the pleading look in his eyes. Her stomach roiled and churned at such an innocent expression. Her mouth formed a snarl.
There are monsters enough within these walls as well.
Verin reached out to take her hand.
Please, I am only looking to protect you. I know you are unable to return to your home island, and Still Harbor is no longer safe.
If you remain here, as your prisoner,
as my wife.
Pyra faltered, her mouth dropping as she wrenched her hand from his. Sucking in a deep breath, Verin dived into his speech before she could object.
I know I am not Elias, and I can never replace him.
He held up a free hand, barreling on.
I don't ask for that. I'm not even asking for your love, or even your bed. But Ebra is divided by those still loyal to my brother. The people trust you. And if we were married, you could retake your throne, rejoin the council meetings, and we could unite this nation once more.
That will never happen.
Pyra ground her teeth.
And I will not stay within these walls while you sit on that throne. Not while horrendous stories have reached my ears of the atrocities you allow to happen.
Resisting the urge to snap back, Verin settled on a long exhale instead.
I agreed to peace with the humans and the Brotherhood to end the centuries-old skirmishes and wars. They've agreed to their end.
They are slaughtering our kind in the streets, Verin. Innocents felled at the hands of priests and monks for simply existing, or being sold off into slavery under the guise of crimes committed.
Pyra flung open the door to the carriage so forcefully that the handmaiden within tried to retreat into the shadows of the cabin. Stepping up on the runner, she glared down at him.
As you said, monsters prowling the wilds of Ebra.
Rubbing at his forehead, Verin felt his resolve waver. The council is set to convene later this evening to go over the budgets. He let out a groan.
Again?
He looked up at the sulky woman.
I will discuss this matter with them, and we will investigate and take the necessary actions to correct it.
Pyra slammed her fist into the side of the carriage.
We do not have time to wait for dusty old men to make tedious arguments only to stall the votes.
There's an order to things now. I cannot act without at least notifying the council. They still hold enough sway to remove even myself if found unfit to rule.
How can we help the citizens if neither of us is able to sit on the throne? Pyra withdrew into the cabin of her ride, her face twisting in disgust.
It's only been 6 months since your brother's death, and you've somehow become a worse ruler than you claimed him to be.
She sat back into a padded bench next to the second hooded figure.
Your mother would be ashamed of the man you've become.
She knocked heavily on the side of the carriage several times. A pang of guilt and remorse overtook Verin as he heard the carriage driver crack his reins. Thoughts of stopping the horses flew to the front of his mind, but hesitation stayed his hand too long. As they pulled away, he watched in hopes of seeing Pyra looking back, but instead, and only for the briefest moment, he caught sight of the second passenger's face.
Ondine?
I don't know, Lucien. What if what she says is true, and we do nothing about it?
Placing his hand on his little brother's shoulder, Lucien gave it a knowing squeeze.
I do not understand why you concern yourself with that sulky woman. Her attempt on your life should have been the final straw months ago.
Varen used his hand to gesture at the map pinned to the table.
Every day, the Brotherhood sequesters another portion of Ebra for their own. And now these stories of creatures roaming the woods at night? Is this a failure of my own making, or something else?
Lucien let out a bark of false laughter.
Stories, Varen. They're just stories.
He leaned over and rolled up the map.
And I assure you, our treaty with the Brotherhood holds fast. Old wounds heal slow, and yes, some isolated incidents have occurred, but they have agreed to cease the violence in exchange for access to those portals.
His mouth formed a line.
A king does not let such small matters affect them like this.
With a shake of his head, Varen looked up at his brother.
No, a true king cares about all his subjects, Lucien. And slaughtering people in the streets or cutting them off for forced labor shouldn't be a...
His concern turned to anger as he frowned.
A small matter.
His own brow knitting in confusion, Lucien pulled back.
I could agree with that, if these stories were true.
He drew a hand down across his chin. His little brother never pushed back like this.
Are you all right?
Sighing, Varen leaned back in his chair.
I'm fine. I thought I saw a ghost today. There was a handmaiden in the carriage with Pyra.
He leaned forward, casting his eyes back up at Lucien.
I could have sworn it was Undine.
Elias's bodyguard. Are you certain?
Varen shot his brother a sad smile as he shook his head once more.
No, it was likely a trick of the light. But for a moment, I imagined that if she had survived, so too might have Elias. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
With a bored sigh, Lucien handed the young king the rolled map.
A blessing, to be sure.
He glanced towards the darkened window set high up in the room.
The council should be convened by now.
He moved around the table, gesturing towards the doors.
Come, let's not keep them waiting.
Varen stood and followed his brother through the halls, working up his nerve as they walked.
He wanted so desperately to march into that room, head held high, and tell the council they would be investigating these claims of the Brotherhood's treachery.
But he knew the majority of the room wouldn't hesitate to unseat him. He would have to ease them into the notion of taking a stand. The long corridors of the castle were dark and frigid as the autumn night brought more than just a chill on the air. Rain pelted the walls and windows like hail, and, even though the torches were lit along the halls, they offered little light and even less warmth. Varen drew the collar of his fur-lined cloak up tight around him, hoping to ward off some of the cold when he pulled to a stop before the large, heavy doors of the courtroom. He hated this room, ever since the council had used it and him to banish his brother and unseat Pyra.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Lucien threw out an aimless gesture with his hand.
You're already late.
Varen, however, didn't move. Something was wrong.
Lucien, where are the guards?
Stop being dramatic.
The elf gave a tired roll of his eyes and reached for the heavy iron handle. But his hand stopped when he noticed part of the door was damaged, the wood splintered from a considerable impact. He frowned.
That's odd.
He was ready to shrug it off as another menial task to have the castle workers fix, when when the torchlight glinted off something shiny near the base of the entryway. He knelt down, reaching out with a finger. Dabbing at the liquid, he hoped it was simply water from someone's boots. But it wasn't. He snapped upright, unsheathing his sword in a swift action. Varen took a step back.
"What is it?"
"Alert the guards."
Lucian's voice was low but commanding.
"We're under attack."
His free hand stretched for the iron handle once more. Before Varen could even process what his brother had ordered, the heavy doors swung open. A familiar figure stood before them, wearing a warm smile, as though he were greeting them into his house.
"Elias?"
Euphoria filled him almost to the brim, and Varen made to move forward to embrace his brother, when Lucian thrust out a hand, pushing him back several steps.
"Run, you fool!"
The elf leveled his blade at the beast, darkening the doorstep before them. Confused and simply ready to argue, Varen looked past Elias's shoulders into the room. Realization washed over him as though he had stepped out into the freezing rain. All 12 members of the council were present, slaughtered in their chairs. Each one was a perfect display of horror and gore, dismembered and torn asunder in some way. Bile rose in his throat as fear churned his guts. From Alderman Lachlan to the Dryad Brune, each one was maimed, still in their seats, their faces frozen with terror. And standing not 2 feet from him, wearing a lazy smile and wiping his hands and arms with a bloody rag, was his elder brother.
"Varen, Lucian, thank you for joining me."
Elias extended his arms in a wide gesture, inviting them in.
"Saves me the trouble of hunting you down."
His smile never faltered.
"Come in, come in. We have so much to discuss."
"Elias, you're alive."
Varen found his courage at last, pushing past Lucian as he moved further into the room. He urged himself to keep his eyes focused on his brother, but they cast around with every step.
"What have you done?"
With a dry bark of laughter, Elias tossed the bloody rag onto the nearest body.
"I'll admit, I got carried away here. I only wished to speak to the council about reclaiming my throne, but the guards at the door attempted to turn me away."
He tucked his hands behind him.
"Then Alderman Lachlan refused to hear me out, and instead ordered my immediate execution for what I had just done to get in."
He gave a half-hearted shrug.
"I lost my temper and killed him first. That's when it struck me. Why have a council of lords at all?"
His sibling's words drove a spike into Varen's heart. He was speaking of the slaughter of 12 people as if it were merely the compulsive act of pulling all the loose threads from a garment.
"You're not well."
"Oh, I am thinking very clearly, brother."
Elias's voice lost its airy, innocent quality as his face grew dark.
"I've been, shall we say, enlightened. And now I know exactly how to rid our lands of this scourge of humans and protect our people once and for all. I will be Ebra's salvation."
Lucian had heard enough.
"Traitorous dog!"
He shoved Varen to the side and lunged, driving the point of his sword forward. The once king merely swatted the blade to the side like he were shooing a fly. The force behind the parry was enough to send him spinning, but he managed to bring his free hand up, balling it into a fist, and used that momentum to connect with his brother's jaw. Pain erupted up his arm as he felt the bones of that hand snap and crumple, like he had struck stone instead of skin. He cried out in agony, and before he could put distance between the two of them, Elias raised his own fist, sinking it painfully into his shoulder. The joint was forced from its socket, and he collapsed to his knees, his fingers relinquishing the sword. Elias felt the elation as he overpowered his older brother at last.
Ever the bully.
He kicked the prone body, rolling him over.
Stop!
Filled with overwhelming panic, Varen snatched up the blade, holding it out before him. There was something so pleasant about watching a once proud war general scrabble away on all fours before him. And Elias felt a wicked smile carve into his face as he stomped down on the nearest leg, shattering the bone.
If I didn't harbor so much hate for all that you've done, I might actually pity you.
He moved lazily towards his brother's head, raising his boot once more.
I should have killed you decades ago.
I said stop!
The blade bit into Elias's arm, and he stumbled back, his eyes moving to Varen.
Still, you still choose him over me.
Why must there be a choice? I love you both.
Varen used the end of his sword to gesture around the room.
But this, Elias, were they not your people too? You murdered them, brother. This is not salvation. I can't condone this.
Elias opened his mouth to chastise his sibling for his naivety, but that nagging impulse in the back of his mind flared to life. Why spare either of them? They had made their choices. They would always be there, waiting to stab him in the back, just as they had always done, time and time again. As the resentment festered, black vines began to spill from the cut in his arm. Beneath the growing concern on his face, Varen's eyes went wide.
Your arm? Is that the cause of your enlightenment? Did it make you kill these people and try to kill your own brother?
I may be host to something powerful.
Elias snapped forward, clamping his fingers around Varen's throat.
But I've wanted to kill Lucien ever since he manipulated you into killing father.
Varen struggled to free himself, but the grip was like iron. The whispers grew louder, closer to the surface. Elias could feel his brother's energy just beneath the skin.
And I've wanted to kill you ever since you chose him over me.
He mentally punctured the veil, reaching out and taking hold of Varen's soul.
I used to be the one who picked you up when you fell.
He began to pull, drawing the power into himself.
I was the one you would come to when things got bad, when he would trick you into doing something.
The dark energies that had filled him in the fields of Emberrun were coursing through his body. It came easier now than it had before, and dark, swirling tentacles began to wrap around his body.
I...
Elias's words faltered as he looked into the face of his little brother. There was fear in his eyes, and his flesh withered, but also tears. Was it sadness from loss, or was it pity? Perhaps love? Of the three of them, Varen was the only one who had never darkened his heart. Elias could blame his sibling all he wanted, but he could have easily taken a heavier hand in the boy's life. He wasn't innocent, by no means, but he also wasn't guilty of betrayal, just gullibility, a byproduct of a sheltered life Elias had fought so hard to give him. He felt his grip weaken.
Kill him.
The words erupted into his mind as the whispers grew loud enough to hear. Elias reeled, dropping his brother to the ground. He pressed his palms to his head, feeling as though he was about to split open.
No, I choose who dies.
The energy in him began to build, threatening to break loose like a dam.
Do it. Do it, or I will.
Tears blurred his vision as Elias looked down at his little brother. One of his hands, coated in raven armor, pulled away and reached towards Varen of its own accord. With monumental effort, he managed to rein in control of his own body.
No! Rebirth him into your army and conquer this pathetic little world!
I will not be the puppet of some revenant!
He fell to one knee from the pain, his teeth clenched hard enough to taste blood.
I am Elias, son of Zelfir, ruler of the last bastion to the gods themselves. You shall bend before my will.
He shook with the effort to contain the magic inside him. It was welling beyond control, ready to burst at the seams and split him open to spill out into the world. Above his own cries of agony, the voice took shape in his mind's eye. An antlered doe, black as night, and pulsing with pent-up anger and raw energy.
Urivaria does not bend, little king.
There was no doubt that it was truth. He had been bestowed with a portion of the fabled god's actual power. And yet, he had stayed her hand. He could not match the goddess's true might, but she was not fully awake. The seed still needed to grow.
You need me.
He gathered his strength, pooling the power he had been absorbing since Ember Run.
I will feed you no longer.
With a feral scream of anguish, Elias straightened his back and released the magic outward. It shot out of him like a cannon, blowing a massive hole in the room and sending the dead bodies, his two brothers, and debris away from him in an explosive shockwave. Varen felt his back collide with the far wall, forcing the air from his lungs. He struggled to catch his breath when the headless corpse of one of the council members slammed into him. In fear and disgust, he recoiled, pushing the body away. He realized in that moment that his strength had returned, his body no longer withered. He looked over to see Elias floating a foot off the ground, dark magic erupting from his body like a font. There was still something of his brother there, hidden away inside the monster. He tried to call out to him, but nothing. Again and again, he willed himself to scream at his sibling, but only air escaped past his lips. Varen was on his hands and knees, struggling to make his way to his brother. The power radiating off him was like a force of nature, and wind pushed him back despite his attempt. A sudden burst of waning magic erupted from Elias's body, sending out a final shockwave of energy. The room shook at its very foundation, and the stone bricks, wooden support beams, and natural ebony rock cascaded down from the gaping wound in the ceiling. The dark, enveloping void of magic was finally spent, causing Elias to collapse to his hands and knees in the pools of blood, rain pouring in through the destroyed roof. His breathing was labored, and tears leaked from his eyes as the voice in his mind grew weak, recessing back to the incoherent whisper.
I will not.
His own voice was tiny and shaky.
I will not kill Varen. He means too much to me.
He struggled to catch his breath as he looked down at his hands. Dark purple wounds had been carved into his forearms, as though the vines had been forcefully ripped free from his body. They curled and wound their way up towards his chest, bleeding freely. He looked up to see Varen, unconscious and half buried beneath piles of debris and rubble. A gurgled noise of agony pulled his attention away, and Elias turned to see Lucian propped up against the wall, reaching for his sword. With his own anguished cry of pain, Elias pulled himself to his feet. Rivaria hadn't poisoned his mind to seed the hatred he had for the elf. He trudged over to his eldest brother, his body heavy and drained of energy. Though he didn't need the power of some eldritch being to end this sniveling snake. He reached down and lifted a large chunk of glittering black stone.
"I should have killed you when we were younger,"
Lucian sneered, still grasping for his sword.
"And I should have killed your mother before you were bred into this world."
Elias lifted the stone above his head.
"Hindsight makes fools of us all."
As he flung the rock down, ready to crush his brother, a mighty burst of wind hit him in the back and caused him to stumble forward. The rock crunched into the wall harmlessly as a blue light spilled across the room. Looking over his shoulder, Elias saw what appeared to be a glowing line hovering in the air near him. He frowned as he turned to face it completely when he saw long, bony fingers burst through the seam and begin to pull it open. He watched in horror as several of the Wicker Witches pried open a portal and stepped out.
"The Ripper is indeed his,"
the witch turned to her companions.
"Tell Matron Echo we have found the seed thief."
Elias made to move, but the witch who had spoke raised a finger in his direction, and he found he was restrained by an invisible force, just as Madam Whisper had done. His every muscle was frozen in place. The whispers in the back of his mind stirred, and he knew that if he let her, Rivaria could easily free him. But he was reticent to trust her. The power was like an addiction, and if he dove too deep, the craving would consume him. A tall figure stepped out of the swirling vortex. Her face was the same stag skull that Sonance had once bore, but her body was trimmed in thick branches and driftwood. She waved a hand, and Elias floated towards her.
"Quite the mess you have made, son of man, son of Fae. You flaunt the power of a god like a child throwing a tantrum. Was it all you hoped for?"
Elias struggled against his invisible bindings, speaking through clenched teeth.
"I never wanted this. Had I known what Whisper had planned, I would have refused."
Matron Echo looked at him closer, noting the purple wounds along his body.
"You denied her, and yet you live. Perhaps you speak truth, perhaps not."
"Have Whisper take back the seed. I do not want it."
She shook her head.
"Whisper has been banished to another realm for her crimes, along with what remains of Alpha. Perhaps it will be enough to stop Ravaria's full awakening, but I doubt it. Even if I could remove the seed, I would not."
She smiled in her soul as she lifted a finger, tapping the shimmering surface of the portal. The swirls of blue shifted into a coppery brown.
"In you, we have a vessel to contain the mad god, and to prevent any further damage to this world, you shall be banished to one without magic. And all the paths between all realities shall be sealed to lock you away. There you will be kept safe from her maddening whispers, and us kept safe from all-out destruction."
The whispers in Elias's mind grew in strength, and he found he agreed.
"You cannot banish me."
In a moment of weakness, he could feel the vines begin to wind their way back into his flesh.
"My task is not done. I must protect my people, my country.
Matron Echo closed a bony hand around his neck, hauling him in front of the portal.
And you would be doing just that by never stepping foot on this realm again.
Her gaze flickered down to the vines wrapping around her own wrist.
Ah, you cannot help yourself, I see. Here you will live out your days in another reality, safe from temptation. But...
her voice grew dark and sinister.
Should you return, only death awaits you.
Elias wanted to scream, but the cold embrace of the vortex drew the air from his lungs. As her grip released, he felt the weight of 1,000 worlds press in from all sides. His mind reeled as his body contorted, pulling him through a space between realities. Points of light rushed past, and before he could take it all in, a planet came up to greet him. He had been spat out the other side and impacted soft, freshly tilled earth like a meteor. He remained for a moment, struggling to catch his breath, when his mind finally cleared. On his hands and knees, he scrabbled for the portal still shimmering before him. But as he reached for it, his fingers barely an inch away, it shattered and knocked him back with a concussive force. He stared in disbelief at where it had been. His home, his family, his wife, all of them gone.
Bloody hell! Well, that ain't something you see every day now, is it? You okay over there?
Elias looked over at the voice. A man in odd clothes, yet still somehow recognizable as a farmer.
No. Not really.
The man nodded knowingly.
Oh, you're one of them.
Elias pushed himself slowly to his feet.
One of them?
You're not the first traveler to show up through one of them portal thingies. We tend to get two types, see? Ones that mean to arrive, and ones that don't.
The man stuck a length of grass between his teeth.
Based on the state of you, I'm guessing you're the latter.
Elias looked down at himself, covered in blood and scars. The deep purple bands of vines had faded to white, and his mind was clear and silent at last.
You could say that, yes.
The farmer pointed off into the distance.
Well, since it looks like your way home just up and poofed, you'll be wanting to talk to them blokes up at the college. Brightest minds in the world, all in one spot. They'll get you sorted. Got a whole division dedicated to this portal nonsense.
Elias turned to look in the direction the man indicated.
College?
A sprawling, glistening city could be seen just beneath the plumes of smoke that rose like a storm cloud. Perhaps his family wasn't gone, just temporarily out of reach.
And that is how I lost my crown, overcame the will of a god, and ended up on Avis. I have endured enough hardship for several lifetimes, devoted my life to others, and yet I am the tyrant? I think not. My brother's lies have had decades to seep into the minds of this world. But now that you've heard my story, can you not see that what I ask of you is just, will you help me to achieve the peace I have struggled my entire life to obtain?
A sad tale indeed.
Wilfred clicked his tongue against his teeth in a tutting manner as he unwrapped a sweet. He popped it into his mouth as a thought occurred to him.
Tell me, since your return, how have you fared against the will of Ravaria? Surely her influence resumed the moment you felt the brush of magic against your skin?
Elias grew still.
Upon my arrival, I was mortally wounded. I will admit, I allowed her to heal me. But that is all. My mind remains my own.
The old wizard gave him a skeptical look.
Honestly, your mental state or intentions are beside the point. What you propose is not only unethical, it brings new meaning to the definition of insanity. It could lead to the catastrophic destruction of every realm.
He gestured around the room of mirrors with a lazy wave of his hand.
You may be willing to sacrifice each of these lives for your pride, but I will not. No, no, no. I shan't help you.
Elias raised a brow, hiding his half-smile beneath a clever lick of his lips.
Very well. In truth, your assistance was not entirely necessary. I only require the proper equipment.
His eyes drifted up to the several nested rings that swiveled and spun lazily above their heads.
This concludes Book 3.5. Leslie and I would really like to thank you for listening to an interlude of intrigue. It's given us time to figure out how in the world we are going to pull off Book 4. And for those of you who have been asking, yes, the funny outros will be returning. So, if you enjoyed this, be sure to check back in just a few weeks for Chapter 1 of the new novel Of Portals and Portents. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.